What they say, I guess, is true. But I'd rather be a rebel and do what God wants me to do. Jesus Christ, I will follow and take the message of the cross. I'll live my life as a rebel, a rebel with a cause.
Welcome everybody to the Trust of the Lord Hour. I am your host, James David Rebel Manning. Howdy, howdy. As you know, we have been teaching Trust in the Lord now. We're heading towards a decade of the teaching Trust in the Lord as we get ready for the most crucial period of anybody's relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ or anything else they consider as a deity. Now, that Jesus is Lord. He's God. He's God and God alone. However, be you ever mindful that we're headed for the most crucial time that humanity has ever experienced. The anger of God is going to cause even the power of the universe to collide on mankind, to destroy him and all of his underground bomb shelters that he has made. And it's called the tribulation, and after that, Satan will be placed in one of those underground bomb shelters. Well, actually, Satan will be placed in a black hole in the universe that does not have a bottom to it. We'll get to that in some of the future teachings that we're teaching. We'll also get to the fact that it will be the Hamite people who are known as black or African Americans at present who have not had their day in the sun, so to speak, and their day to really represent the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to see some of the greatest witnesses for Christ, the greatest acts of salvation ever seen in the history of the world, of a people who right now represents the furthest trek away from salvation, Hamite people, African American or black people. But they're going to turn, and the testimony of what they will do in terms of their love for Jesus, their love for America, will be a witness to all of their brothers in China, in Japan, to the Buddhists, to the Hindus, and even many Muslims will come to Jesus, because many of the people that are now Hamite people will surrender their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all coming. Get ready for it. It's on the roster of prophecy uttered by Jesus and John the prophesier from the book of Revelation. However, I'm here, our church, James David Madden, the Outlaw World Missionary Church, is in the midst of New York City, Harlem. Last night, we held a prayer meeting out in our courtyard, and we addressed some immediate problems that are plaguing, first of all, this community of Harlem, and also America and the world. And we reveal some information that is most critical as evil is being exposed. And we can call this the courtyard prayer meeting for foreclosure and ultimate evil exposed. I'm going to let you listen to some of the things that we had to say last night from the courtyard in today's session on Trust in the Lord. I want to say a couple of things. Number one is that we were in court today before Judge Manuel Mendez at 71 Thomas Street on the matter of the hearing on the merits and the actions brought by the Mellon Bank of foreclosure against our church property and by the city of New York, who have for the past 20 years denied us exemption from water and sewer charges, though we applied several years and explained to the city of New York that we were legally exempt as a church, a school, and a homeless shelter. they have repeatedly acted capriciously and arbitrarily regarding their decisions. And so that matter was brought before the judge, and we'll explain to you in a moment how that matter went. I'll give you my synopsis of it. There was no decision reached today, but I'll tell you what I think about the experience of being in Judge Manuel Mendez's courtroom this morning as our case was heard off the record by all three attorneys. But before I get to that, I want to just address a couple of things that I think is significant and important for us. I want you to know that the people of this community are increasingly dependent upon us to save this community from the sodomites, the gentrifiers, and the foreclosure people and types. And let me explain to you what I mean by that. Some of you have had the opportunity, and we're going to pray about that tonight. That's going to be our points of prayer tonight. And we're going to try to find a way in the midst of this tight space to all get down on our knees out here in the courtyard tonight. So let me say a few things to you about how the prayer can be directed, if you'll let me suggest, as led by the Lord. And then we're going to get down on our knees and pray here in this courtyard out here tonight. But I want to inform you that there are a large number of people, and increasingly the community is looking to us to save them and to retrieve their property that has been taken by the gentrifiers, the sodomites in particular, and by what I would refer to as political supremacy foreclosure procedures. It's one thing when a debtor owes a debt to a debt holder, and that debt holder calls in that mocker, and in many ways in loan instruments that are written, even if you're up to date, banks reserve a clause to call in that debt, even if you're up to date, and demand full payment at the time it's called for. More often, however, foreclosures happen when people aren't able to pay their debts, and therefore the debt holder has the right to redeem the property to recover whatever investments they may have made. And I want to reference what's happening in our community here as a type of foreclosure to the people who were indigenous to this community and who have a right to live peaceably without the threat of gentrification. The people that, and I just talked with a young man here over the fence who explained to me about his parents were pushed from this community, and other people that he has loved that have been pushed from this community by the banks, by the banksters, by the real estate developers, and by the politician. I want to give God a round of applause. Not that I support Adriano Espialat, who won the primary last night over Charles Rangel's hand-picked crackhead Keith Wright. But I know that Espialat, who is a Dominican, will be the first to go to Congress, and he's going from his Dominican culture, is directly and diametrically opposed to gentrification. He recognized what it has done. It has devastated families. It has devastated people's idea where they're going to retire. This is no longer a retirement community, but it's becoming a hip-hop sodomite community, and it just ain't right. And they're looking for someone to stand and defend them. And that will be us. But I also want to state that Keith Wright and a few others thought that by pandering to the sodomites, they were going to get the sodomites' vote. You notice that Keith Wright marched against us in that last sodomite attack. Well, thank God he can stay a crackhead in the New York State Assembly, but he will not be going to Congress representing this district. And glory to God and hallelujah and boom shakalaka goes right there. But let me share what I consider the supremacy foreclosure. When people with power come in into a community and they've got oodles of money, they buy off the politicians, they buy off the community board leaders, they buy off the pastors who are the easiest sale in town. And then they commence to taking property, pushing people out of rent-controlled properties, and then converting those properties into high-rent properties. You'll remember I made the comment that the building 25 across the street here some years ago, a woman died who used to come to this ministry. She died over there and was in there for a week before anybody would break down the door and get her out of there. And they called me to go in, and I went in. But that place where crackheads used to be cracked in, and it should not have been that. God knows it should not have been. But now, a one-bedroom apartment 5 years ago in this building, number 25, would cost you $2,500. And by the way, the one-bedroom ain't no big room. It's a small room. The kitchen's small. $2,500. I'm sure it's a whole lot more now. When the prices are raised to the point you are priced out of what had been a comfortable place, all things being equal and justice being applied, that's a form of foreclosure that we need to look at, that I'm going to label as such. And the people need someone to defend them against such actions. Because who can stand over against the power of the banks? The banks are coming in and buying off the pastors and buying off the politicians, leaders in the community. We're going to get to that. But before I talk more about that and then identify our foreclosure and tell you what happened, and then we're going to get on our knees to pray tonight, I want to say something to you. The sign behind me is an appeal to Mr. Trump, who, you know, some time ago I endorsed and supported. But watch with great anxiety as he would not defend Kim Davis down in Kentucky, who refused to issue a marriage license to two women or two men. And Mr. Trump did not come to her aid, but rather chastised her and told her that she should just obey the law. Well, nobody knows better than Mr. Trump that some laws are unjust and should not be obeyed. In fact, there was a major movement called the Civil Rights Movement that was against unjust laws, or at least that is what is historically reported. And then there came the matter a month or so later about Bruce Jenner. Now, I don't know whether Bruce Jenner was there in his building there on Fifth Avenue at Trump Tower, but the question was asked of him, where Mr. Jenner, who has calls himself now a woman, who was for more than 30 years the greatest athlete that America had ever produced. He was on the cornflakes, the Wheaties box. He was just one terrific male athlete, won more gold medals. He was the greatest that America ever produced. And a year or so ago, he decided that he didn't want to be a man anymore and began to declare that he's a woman. And so it was asked of Mr. Trump, what would he do were Bruce Jenner to be in this building and had to use the bathroom? Mr. Trump's reply, without hesitation or thought, well, I'll let him go to any bathroom he wants. We know now the gender-neutral bathroom laws that are sweeping across our nation, that if a man believes he's a woman, he doesn't have to be, just thinks he is for today, he can go into the woman's bath or the women's bathroom and vice versa. And Mr. Trump said that'd be fine with him. He thinks it's a good idea. I was troubled. More recently, in his New Hampshire speech after the post-Sodomite Temple nightclub massacre, he went ahead and affirmed his strong and abiding support for that lifestyle. Love who you want to love, marry who you want to marry, and that he was in support of that. Well, my response was I could no longer, as a man of God, support anyone who head-to-head confronted God's word and denied God's word. It would be one thing if he had said, well, I don't think the military ought to, you know, wear long pants in the summertime. Not the military, like the Navy boys, ought to be able to wear short pants. And the Pentagon ought to pay for it. And the matter might go before the House as a vote. Well, I might be for long pants. But if Mr. Trump is for short pants, I'm not going to fall out with him over the long pants, short pants issue. It doesn't confront God. However, were he to say that, and this is going to happen, by the way, that the men in the military who now think that they're women should be allowed to wear skirts in the military and take off the long pants, then I got a problem with that. I got a problem. Now, he can get there, but that would be a direct confrontation, not necessarily biblically, but morally. As a man of God, I couldn't support that. I can't support anybody who stands in the face of God and says, we're going to push this through no matter what the Bible says. So Mr. Trump had to go, as far as I'm concerned. I can't do that. I'm the Lord's servant. And I'm standing with God. And I would adjure him to come on back and clean that up. However, I do want to point up something here that I think the world needs to be aware of. And I'm going to say it here to y'all. And that is this, that sodomites are more dangerous to humankind than all the jihadists that Muhammad the prophet could ever have produced. They are. They are. And I'm going to show you here at this meeting here, this prayer meeting, why that is so. And I've got it here on the announcement board. And, of course, I've never had a Muslim ever say they're going to bomb our church. They do that, but they never say they're going to do it to me. I never had a Muslim stand outside our gate and cuss our children out. I've never had a Muslim do that, though I've said a whole lot of things about them, talked about their prophet, Muhammad. But they've never done anything of that wise. And but I've seen the sodomites do it routinely, attacking this church. They physically attacked this church. Criminally attacked this church. I've never had any Muslims attack us any way whatsoever. The sodomites have. But I want to share something with y'all. Y'all know that over there, the Ataturk airport in Istanbul, Turkey, there was a mass shooting and killing and bombing on yesterday with three so-called ISIS terrorists, 41 people killed and 247 people hospitalized, and another terrorist act on the heels of the post-Sodomite temple down in Orlando, Florida. And these are the ISIS boys, the Muslims, during this killing. And everybody talks about how awful it is. And Mr. Trump was talking about how we need to ban all Muslims from coming into America, because there's the potential that they could be terrorists. And he's walking that back even. He's now backing off of that, and he's trying to make that a little bit more moderate to be accepted by the liberals. But, you know, people say, in opposing Mr. Trump, they said this. They said, well, you know, that's racist, that's xenophobe, it's hate-filled, we are a melting pot here in America. We have many cultures. It's our diversity that makes us so powerful. That's a lie, but that's what they say. And that we should never make religion a test. And we should never ban people based on their religious beliefs, ideologies, because by being diverse, being a land of immigrants, we become a great nation as a land of immigrants. And so you get the bleeding hearts who are saying, let the Muslims come. Let them come. And Trump is saying, or was saying, well, you know, we're going to get terrorists here. We're going to have bombing going off here in America. But the bleeding hearts, all the liberals, and I said, let them come. Don't ban them. Let them come. Let them have their holidays. Let them celebrate their Sharia and their Ramadan and whatever else it is. They let them come. Let them come. Over there in the UK, because of the European Union's immigration statutes, they were compelled to let them in. And the UK say, well, the way we're going to deal with this, we won't be along. The United Kingdom said, the way we're going to deal with European Union event is that we're not going to be a part of the European Union anymore. We'll stop all that. Because we can't have this going on in our nation, these Muslims. But the point I want to make to you, and I want you to see, is that think about all the people you've heard. Let them come. You're a xenophobe. You're afraid of people because of their religion. You're blaming a whole group of people for the action of just a few. All Muslims aren't bad. Most of them are peaceful. And on and on and on, you've heard it. And on, most of y'all have bought it hook, line, and sinker. Yeah, most of them are peaceful. Most of them, they're just a few of them that are bad boys. I've never taken that position. They're all bad. Y'all need Jesus as far as I'm concerned. But can I share something with y'all and then we'll get on our knees tonight and pray? I have been saying that sodomites, faggots, lesbos, homos are worse than jihadists, Muslims. And I got it up here on the announcement board. I didn't just say it in a corner. I put it up here on the announcement board. And I put it on both sides. And then I put it out on the net that they are. Now here, I want to point up a couple things to you before we get on our knees to pray here tonight. That people have been withdrawing themselves from me. A good friend of mine called me the other day. Said, Pastor, I can't go with you any further. What you mean? Said, Pastor, you know, you just need to be more loving towards these sodomites. He said, no, I don't approve. But I know what the Bible says, but you need to be more loving, he said to me. And I just can't go with you any further. And he said that we need to pray for them. And I hear you now saying they're worse than jihadists. Pastor, he said. And Jesus loves everybody, he said. And Jesus loves them. And you're misinterpreting the scriptures. When Jesus said that the law is still the law, he meant that we didn't have to do the law no more. And because he's done it, and we're free now to do what we want to do, he said to me. Then he went on to say something about the Apostle Paul said something, and that we ought to just love everybody. I said, well, you know, the Apostle Paul who wrote in Romans chapter 1 that this was a perversion and that these people that do this kind of thing, that God's turned them over to a reprobate mind. They're the ones that are calling right wrong and wrong right, which is what you're doing now. But I just think that that's the wrong approach. I think you ought to be more loving. Your rhetoric is too strong, he said to me. And we got to learn how to love everybody. Sin is sin. Ain't no sin, one sin greater than the other. I thought that. I said, well, I got to go. No, I got to go. What am I putting to argue with somebody who's going to argue that kind of? I said, I got to go. I'll just see you later. But can I share some things with y'all? About, we know that we believe that it was Muslims over there at that airport the other day, that over there in Istanbul. Is that right? What we do know about this fella, Martin, who killed 49 people down in Orlando, it's been widely reported and documented on the net that he's a sodomite, or that he was a sodomite, depending on how you want to put his past tense position, and that he went into a sodomite temple called the Pulse in Orlando, killed 49 and injured 53. But it is clear that he was a sodomite. Now, what I want to do, if I can borrow your minds for just a moment, and you can use your own faculties to receive, reject, assimilate, analyze, whatever it is you want to do. But I want to borrow your mind. I'm going to talk to you for just a moment about who are the most vicious God haters. And if there is any group of people that God despises, it's the sodomite. Above everybody else. Above everybody else, it's a sodomite. And let me tell you why. We know that was a sodomite down there in Orlando. We know that. All right? We don't know about the boys over there in Istanbul. We don't know about them. But you know, it has been widely said, going back nearly two decades ago now, that those young boys that walked into the Columbine High School that day, one was named Dylan Klebold and the other was named Eric Harris. The trench coat mafia is what they were known as. But it was also known that these boys couldn't get a date. No girls would have anything to do with them. And they pretty much kept to themselves. It was never accurately pinpointed, a case documented, but it was rumored all over Colorado that these boys were sodomites and that they were angry with the world. And that's why they went in and did what they did. Dylan Klebold and Eric Harris. They said, well, madam, you're going to put this out there. You need to get some documentation. I don't have it. But I can tell you the rumors were flying back then, and many of the young girls knew it, that these boys were sodomites. And it was that perversion that caused them to behave the way they behaved. You know, the other thing I think is important about these sodomites is that we all know they're saying that ISIS killers and the Muslims are the worst. But the worst sodomite, and we know he's a sodomite, it's been documented he was a fag, is Hitler. It's Hitler. And it is documented that not only that, but his henchmen, both Joseph Mengele and Goebbels, were also sodomites. And they went on a killing machine. Now, Muhammad's boys, ISIS, the Taliban, and everybody else are going to have to get up early in the morning to be able to overcome the killing record of Hitler, Mengele, and Goebbels there in Germany. Get early. Ain't nobody killed like they've killed. But I got one other. I got a couple more fights, quite frankly. I was watching a movie, and I don't have the kind of documentation I do about Hitler and Mengele and Goebbels. I was watching a movie called Alexander the Great, something about him. And y'all know that boy was a war machine all the way from Greece to Mumbai or Calcutta, killing and destroying and making war as he went. And after every war, he would sleep with one of his generals. Alexander the Great, a sodomite. Now we're talking about a mentality, whether the mentality of the sodomite is lesser or worse than the mentality of the jihadist. But that ain't all. No, I got a whole lot more. Jack the Ripper, the legendary Jack the Ripper of London, was a sodomite. And because of his inability to relate to women, he'd go out at night and kill them. Because his mama was good looking and his daddy was rich, he never had to pay the price for being Jack the Ripper. But London was terrified by a sodomite named Jack the Ripper killing women. That ain't all. I got more. That's right. I sure do. You may not know about this, but people live West Coast down Oregon, Washington, there was a sodomite who was called the Green River Killer. And everybody don't know about him. Most people know about the Boston Strangler. But this sodomite, and see, I'm going back now and pulling up names and actions of people before they came out the closet. You see what I'm saying? See, if we could roll the clock back, Hitler would come out the closet. Well, I don't know. Obama's here now. He won't come out, so maybe Hitler won't come out either. But what I'm saying to you is I'm talking about people who, at the time, people whispered in corners about sodomy. They knew that Jack the Ripper was, but they didn't talk about it. The Green River Killer killed young women. More than 50 of them were attributed to the Green River Killer. A lot of people believe that a whole lot of young women were killed by him, the Green River Killer. And out in the Northwest. Sodomite. Another one. Jeffrey Dahmer. A pedophile and a sodomite. They're both the same. And I was making some notes here a few moments ago. Because we know we're trying to compare, you know, the destruction of what the sodomites have put into humanity as opposed to what ISIS has put into humanity. All these people telling me I need to be more loving. I want to towards the sodomites, yet they're not loving towards the Muslims. I said, we don't need to be loving towards either one of them. I can't think of this fella's name. But he was out there in one of those colleges in Pennsylvania. And he was a football coach or something like that. Sandusky. Yeah, that's him. And it is reported, court case documented, that Sandusky, a sodomite and a pedophile, raped 10-year-old boys way up above the number of 50 that would come forward. We're talking about sodomites. We're talking about perversion compared to sodomites, compared to jihadists. Ted Bundy, also sodomite, killing girls down in colleges across Florida. And so when we look at the amount of people that have been killed, and God's got the record, and I'm his servant, the number of people that have been killed, terrorized by Muslim jihadists, pales in comparison to the kind of torture, killing, mass murder, sodomites, going all the way back to Hitler and Jack the Ripper and others. Were there to be, when we get to heaven, and you can check it out, God looking at this, the sodomites are far more dangerous to humanity than the jihadists. But that ain't all. You ever notice how these liberals get on television and talk about how the sodomites are using the internet to recruit? I laugh. They're using the internet to recruit red-blooded Americans all across America. They're trying, little girls trying to make their way over there to marry one of these ISIS fighters. And how horrible that is. And then they go on to talk about how ISIS is sophisticated and how they're able to use the internet to recruit and inspire, that the internet savvy, and on and on and on and on they go. And how awful that is, and they ain't nothing they can do about it, they say. The liberals, the ones that want to stop the side, ain't nothing they can do about it, they say. And I say, well, yeah, okay. But can I live? I want to say here, nobody want to hear it, but I want to say, well, what about the sodomites? How they use the classrooms, how they use the school systems, how they use Hollywood, and how they also use the internet. The ISIS just got the internet, but the sodomites got the internet, they got Kimba, they got Facebook, they got the movies, they got the classrooms, they got the courtrooms, they got the politicians, they got the churches. And when you compare the power of influence of the sodomites over against the of the jihadists, y'all ought to stand up and give God a round of applause that we've discovered this truth about how they're using various venues to recruit our children and turn them into faggots and lesbos. It's what they're doing. It's what they're doing. Far worse. and the jihadists. Take his knees. So now, I thought I'd share that with y'all tonight. Because the word needs to go out. It needs to be known. When you support sodomy, you support a maniacal institution of ideas that is anti-universe, that God has continually condemned. And there ain't no loving. There ain't no we need to be nicer to them. I tell you what. All these people are talking about being nice to the Muslims, or that I should be nice to the Sodomites. And yet they want to call the Muslims jihadists and killers, etc. We're living in some end times, and that's why all this is as it is. Because the devil is running amok. But I'm here as a Lord's servant. And I'm here to identify this. And we're going to unearth it. Now, when you consider what is happening in this community by the sodomites, the gentrifiers, who've come to this community and they've pushed the people from the community. Now, you say, well, Pastor, that's capitalism, you know, that's how it is. The price of a pound of beef is the price of a pound of beef. If you ain't got it, you don't eat. All right. But somewhere in the Bible, I was reading many, many years ago, somewhere, that Moses said that there needs to be accurate weights and balances in all trades and all deals, deal done by all merchants. And Moses didn't stop there, by the way. By the way, my friend that told me the other day that, you know, Moses, we didn't really mean know what he was talking about. But Moses not only said that all trades, all merchants should treat the rich man equal to the poor man. And Jesus said that himself. But Moses also said this. He said, because people can use their economic power to oppress another people, he said that as long as y'all are of the kindred of the Jews, a Jew who needs a loan and gives his coat as a pledge to buy a field so he can make some money for his children, you take his coat as a pledge. But now when the night comes and it's cold, give him his coat back so he and his wife can sleep under that coat and take it back in the morning. Do not oppress your brother just because he don't have the money that you have. But it didn't stop there. See, I've been reading the Bible. I read the Bible. I don't know what these other people been reading. But it stopped there. He said that in order to help your brother to get on his feet, if your brother don't got it like you got it, you got it going on. He's your brother. If your brother needs a loan to buy a house, and he comes to you and tells you he needs a loan, give it to him. And don't charge him any interest. And if Moses said, if we find out that you have oppressed your brother by charging him interest, we're going to throw you out the tribe. We're going to throw you out the group. No, let your brother live. And it didn't stop there. No, it didn't stop there. Moses wrote, talking about economic justice, Moses wrote that when you crop your fields, your corn, your barley, your olive trees, your grapes, and when you harvest your harvest from the fields, he said, don't take everything out the field. He said, leave some around the edges. Leave it around the corners so that the poor among you can come and eat freely of that which you let. It's called gleaning. That's what Ruth used to do. Y'all remember Ruth, right? Yeah. It's called gleaning. So See, these niggas ain't never read the Bible. These lowlife, this trash, they ain't never read the word of God. And that nigga that talked to me the other day told me he had to cut loose and come here. He ain't never read the Bible either. No, God has a sense of justice. What they have done here in this community is that they have pushed people out. They've taken the coat. They've cleaned the fields. They bought off the politicians, and people can't live. But I'm here as the Lord's servant. I'm going to lift up the word of God so people can live again. We're going to live in this community. Oh, we're going to live in this community. And so it's very important. Don't you forget what I said. Jeffrey Dahmer, who used to eat flesh, was a sodomite. Sandusky was a sodomite. Now, Hitler was a sodomite. Dylan Klebold was a sodomite. And a whole lot more. Now that we're pulling the cover off of this activity that goes back into time and antiquity, we need to understand that sodomites are a vicious and a deadly group of people. And if they were just using the internet to recruit little girls into thinking they're little boys, we could probably handle that. But they done bought off the schools. They done bought off the courts. They done bought off the judges. They done bought off the preachers. And by the way, you know, preachers, y'all, I know you know better. I know you know better, y'all preachers. I know y'all in this community and across America. I know that you know better. But you know, you got to be brave. You got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his mouth to preach God. God's word ain't no joke. You talk about you preaching God. You got to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his mouth. God's word ain't no joke. This ain't no joke out here. People are kidding one another. This ain't no joke. People are robbing one another. People are afraid. People are being pushed out of their homes. This ain't no joke. This ain't no joke out here. This is serious business. This ain't no joke. They're cussing our children. This ain't no joke. They don't care about the welfare of our children. This ain't no picnic. This ain't no joke. This is serious business. And the only defense we have is the word of God. But the only defense we'll ever need is the word of God. Preach the word of God, and God's word will defend us. So, I adjure you preachers to preach. You might get put out to churches, all right. You know, but God will take care of you. Now the Lord will take care of you. He'll take care of you if you preach his word. And ultimately, these people sitting up in these churches, especially these Hamites, they know what the deal is. They know what the deal is. They're scared too. They see what's happening. And all they need is a fire built on it. Now listen, I'm preaching out here. People stop by this Wednesday. They didn't stop here tonight. But people stop by here all week long. Keep on preaching, brother pastor. You the man. Keep on preaching. They're hearing what we're saying. And they're not looking. And we're going to deliver. Oh, we're going to deliver. I'm going to preach God's word. I don't have to be afraid of anything long as we can preach God's word. Now, let me say one other word before we get down on our knees tonight, a point of prayer. So you pray. Say, wait a minute now. He just said something. He named Jeffrey Dahmer. He named Dylan Klebold. He named Hitler as sodomites, killers. But I don't know if I want to believe that. I don't know if I want to believe that. I don't know. Okay. Listen, you don't have to believe it. You can believe what you want. But it ain't going to stop me from preaching it. No. I haven't seen God rain down fire and brimstone on Muslims yet. I just might. But I ain't seen him do it yet. But I've seen him rain it down on sodomites. Man sent me a gift. They'll put $50 in an envelope, right? Sent it to me the other day. And he said to me now, he said, Pastor Manning, he said, down in Texas somewhere, he said, please help Donald Trump. He needs your help. Well, so I know that. And you're a great influence. And I'm sure he misses your support. He said, but you know, also, he said, Pastor Manning, he said, you know, I believe that event that took place down there in Orlando, killing them 49 people, was justice about what they're trying to do to you up there in Harlem against your church. They better watch themselves. Because God is a God of justice, and you are a servant. And you raise your hand, that people raise their hand against you. You know, tell them, it might have been, but I don't know. God didn't tell me that's why all those people got killed down there. He didn't tell me that. I don't know that, but that's what he said. Maybe God told him. I don't know. But let me say, I just share this with y'all before we get down on our knees. I was in court today. We have demonstrated several things. Number one, that this property, this building, is used wholly and completely for tax-exempt purposes. The Department of Environmental Protection have acted capriciously, to use a word, regarding their determination. We filed over the years more than 12 applications for exemption. And finally, when they sent us a bill and said they were going to sell it to sell our lien to a bank, we took them to court on what was referred to as an Article 78. And the judge heard our Article 78 and determined that we are 100 and wholly and completely tax exempt under Judge Cornreich. Now, the city of New York, they have a lot to lose to let us gain that footing. First of all, I got a big microphone, and I speak to a lot of people. So a lot of people have gone through the problems that we've gone through. They just didn't fight it. So the Article 78 went to the court, the appellate division, and the appellate division upheld it. It went to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals used a dissimilar case of the Jehovah's Witnesses to demonstrate that our court should be remanded back to Cornreich's court and the Supreme Court, that it be heard again on the merits. The city of New York were charged with the responsibility, and to some degree, I suppose they said that we were charged with the responsibility of filing in the Supreme Court after the Court of Appeals remanded the case back down to the lower court. It was the city of New York that petitioned the Court of Appeals to the third degree. We were under the assumption that it was their responsibility to bring the case. We never did. At any rate, the case is still on the docket. It was never taken off. In order, when a case has been taken off of the courts, the judge has to sign an order that this case has been remedied, it's been heard, adjudicated, and it's no longer alive in the court system. The lawyers for both sides must sign off on that before the case can be considered off the record, no longer alive. That never happened. It never happened. So according to court records, the fact that we were supposed to go back to the city of New York, Supreme Court, is still alive after 6 or 7 years. I'm not sure how many years it is. At any rate, that's one reason why the foreclosure procedure was jumping the gun, because the case has not been fully adjudicated yet. You got to get the decision from the Supreme Court as to whether or not they could go forward with the foreclosure procedure. You hear me talk about this, but I want to be more definitive. People are listening. The other thing is that the certificate that the Bank of Mellon purchased from the city of New York is defective. First of all, the first certificate they purchased was stayed by Judge Kibbe Payne. You can't move on this until the Supreme Court, in the further adjudication, determines the case is stayed. No action can be taken. The Bank of New York, the Mellon Bank of New York, tried to end run the process, re-certificate the property or the certificate under a different guise from the same bank, and then took it to the court. It was a fraudulent act that they did. And we were able to demonstrate as well. Not to mention the fact that the taxes that they put in the certificate were real estate taxes and other taxes, and made it defective. And then there was the matter that they got the judge's attention today, that the Bank of Mellon has charged 18% interest, which is illegal by the mandates of the city statutes. The maximum is 7 to 9%. They've doubled that, compounded daily, which then null and voids the entire foreclosure procedure, because the interest that they arrived at, the amount of foreclosure amount, was defective as well. And then there is a matter, the federal matter that we've not been fully adjudicated. The matter needs to go back before the court to discover, are we really tax exempt? Is this building 100% tax exempt? That needs to be finally settled. So our attorney argued today, and I wasn't able to go up to the bar with him, but I listened to what he had to say. The courtroom kind of hushed up. We went in Judge Mendez's courtroom this morning. There must have been 100 lawyers, and I ain't never seen so many lawyers in one place in all my days. 100 lawyers in that little old courtroom today. And they were all talking, and the bailiff kept telling them, shut up, you're talking too loud, get out in the hallway, I'm going to throw you out. But when our case went up, a holy hush fell over the place. I could hear the judge, I could hear our lawyers, I could hear everybody talking. Couldn't hear that before. And I watched the demeanor of the judge. And when our attorney presented our case, such as those points and a whole lot more, and then it was time for the Bank of Mellon to present his case, the judge just completely dismissed him. It was being wholly and completely irrelevant in what he had to say. The city of New York, they presented some bogus information as well. It was a farce. At any rate, the judge will render his decision on the matter. Now, my reading of the situation as a judge, his hands are tied in terms of his rulings. First of all, this matter will be appealed no matter who wins. The matter will then go back to the appellate court. But that hasn't been, so the judge has to look at all of these issues and discover whether or not a case that went before a foreclosure judge with a defective certificate and a suspended lawyer should be allowed to proceed and a church be thrown in the street, because the lawyer was suspended and the certificate was he's going to have to answer to that. He's a popular judge, and I'm sure he would never do something as awful as that. But my reading of the event today is that the judge recognizes and had heard that this case was coming to his desk, to his bar, and realizes that it's highly political, and he has to look at his case very carefully. My final analysis is that the judge was very much in favor of the fact that we're a church. We have all these issues ahead of us. He was very intent about that and paid very careful attention. He dismissed the other lawyers pretty much and what their claims were. We'll wait on his decision. But I think it's important that we understand that we are here in this community. We're not going anywhere. There's not going to be any kind of a foreclosure. You can forget about that. But what we do need to realize is that while that's taking place, the word is going around that we are fighting on behalf of the people. We now have a responsibility to live higher than we've ever lived, more prayerful than we have ever lived before. Now, some of y'all have had the opportunity to sit out here and be blessed on Saturday and Friday and Sunday when the people walk by. Y'all been blessed to hear their comments. You can hear their comments. Nobody could make up what the people are saying. And that ain't the tip of the iceberg. We got people listening to what, that's why I took the time to meticulously go over the fact, and don't you ever forget it. You are safer with a jihadist blade at your neck than in the sweet talk of a sodomite. You're much safer. Your children are safer. Sodomites are wicked, demon-possessed people, and there ain't no getting around it. That's who they are. That's who they'll forever be. And we need to understand that. But God has called us to fight and to help these people. They don't have a leader. They're being pushed out of their home. They're being foreclosed on by a supremacy foreclosure. They need somebody to help them. And that's what we're here to do. And that's what I'm going to do. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to succeed. That's right. God has given us the strength and the mandate. So what I want y'all to do tonight is I want you to get down on your knees out here in public and let them see. We're a praying church. We're praying people. You pray on those items that we said. And by the way, anybody live streaming, you get on your knees wherever you are. You know, my friend that called me up and said, I can't jig it with you no more. You ought to express love towards these sodomites. Well, I love them. I tell them they're going to hell. Don't get right. Ain't that love? Ain't that love? You're going to hell. His idea that there ain't no hell. I said, what do you think about Jesus? Well, you know, everybody's, he came for everybody to love everybody. That's what's being taught. But they're going to hell. What we need to come to terms with is this. Is that, let's say you're troubled by this. Let's say you're troubled by Sandusky. And I didn't mention a Catholic church. I could pull up documented court records to show you that them priests in that Catholic church, they're more dangerous than them sodomites with their blades, the priests. I mean, what they do to them little boys? What them nuns do? You talk about hell, heaven, the Catholic church. I mean, they're awful. They're worse than the jihadists. So you may have had a little problem with that. Well, I don't know if I want to go along with that. I think these Muslims are bad people. Okay, all right. All right. Everybody else, let's pray. Amen. Ask God to strengthen you as we go along here. Get this work done. Praise Almighty God. Glory, glory. Get on your knees. In the name of Jesus.
It's all God's children singing glory, glory.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.